The Cap and J-Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Go to titoshometowntales.com and hear the stories of Chicago's defining sports moments through the lens of your favorite ESPN 1000 hosts. That's titoshometowntales.com.
The training camp shuttles are loading in Vernon Hills. Cap and J-Hood are there on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app.
So each year, The Athletic does a breakdown by tier of the quarterbacks in the National Football League. We're going to run those down because it's my partner's favorite article of the football season. We are at Buttermilk Cafe in Vernon Hills on the edge of where training camp is for the Bears. Park here and take the shuttle. If you're fortunate enough to get tickets, they allow 1,000 in every day. And it's all brought to you by First Midwest Bank, Midas, and the Home Loan Experts.
I'd like to remind you, coming up at 9:13, Cap and I will give away a pair of tickets to see Monday Night Raw. They're going to be at the Allstate Arena in Rosemont. So when you hear John Cena's theme, make sure you're caller 20 to see Monday Night Raw emanating from the Allstate Arena in Rosemont. We'll give a pair of tickets today and also tomorrow at 9:13.
That's correct. So the Athletics quarterback tier article you love. I have never liked it because we never had a quarterback that was even close to the top tier.
See, it's not about us. It's not about the Bears. It's about how to reach to the top.
I found it depressing.
See, Cap, this is why you and I are different as sports fans. I look at that list, and I covet that list every year. Mike Sando does a great job with it every year. He did it at ESPN. He's doing it now for The Athletic. You know why? Because now you know what the top looks like from the bottom. Because that's usually where the quarterbacks are.
Correct.
Mitch has been a tier 4 or tier 5 quarterback a lot on that list, right?
Correct.
But now you see what the top looks like. And so you can't get to the top until you see what's up there. And so that's why I love this list. The old night show, hours on this, because it breaks down exactly how Sando and executives and others look at the best of the best in the NFL.
So their tier 1 quarterback is described in this way. A tier 1 quarterback can carry his team each week. The team wins because of him. He expertly handles pure passing situations, and he has no real holes in his game. There is a tie for the top spot. Aaron Rodgers and, of course, Patrick Mahomes. They are tied 50 out of 50 votes. There are 50 executives in the National Football League that were polled. They got a vote to be tier one from all of them. Also a tier one who is number 3 on the list. He actually went up from a year ago, and he's 44 years of age. Tampa Brady.
You agree with that?
I do.
That so far, that 1, 2, 3?
No question about it.
All right.
He's back at tier one following a one-year absence, and he has some separation now between him and the top two, which are Rodgers, last year's MVP, and Patrick Mahomes, who lost in the Super Bowl. The other tier one quarterback is Russell Wilson. He is in at number 4. And Deshaun Watson, who they did not take into account his off-the-field struggles, just simply voted on him as a player. He got 26 of the 50 votes, put him in Tier 1, 23 put him in Tier 2, and 1 had him all the way down at Tier 3. So those are your 5 Tier 1 quarterbacks.
Okay. So say it out loud. Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, and Aaron Rodgers. Are those the best quarterbacks we have in the NFL? Because that tier one means that's the best. Is Deshaun Watson a tier one quarterback for real? Because I can make the argument that Lamar Jackson, he belongs on that top tier list as well.
Yeah, I do not believe he belongs on that list. I think he's a phenomenal athlete. I don't think he is a guy is going to stand back there in the pocket like the other guys there and have the ability to pick you apart. I think Lamar Jackson's a top 10 quarterback in the NFL, proving a lot of evaluators like Bill Polian wrong. Polian didn't even think he should be a quarterback in the NFL.
Of course
not. I do not see him in the top 5 or a tier 1 guy.
I think that he's learned, Cap, to be able to do both. Lamar Jackson, stand in the pocket and be able to fire the football as well as be able to run. Now, you know, it's interesting. Josh Allen's that same type of quarterback that has the ability to scramble. He's on the top of tier 2 I know that you're a Bills guy, or you like Josh Allen. You think you like their upside a lot.
I do like the Bills. I think they can win the Super Bowl. And I think Josh Allen is a phenomenal football player.
So also in this tier two, you see Matthew Stafford on this list too, right?
Correct. Number five is number six is Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Number seven tied is Lamar Jackson and Matthew Stafford. Tier one votes for Lamar Jackson. He just got 438 tier two votes.
Mm-hmm.
Stafford, 438 as well.
So you go through this tier two list, and again, as you drive, just listen to this. And then, Jeff, we're going to need your help on this as well to see if you agree with this list as well. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Matthew Stafford, Dak Prescott, Justin Herbert, big leap, Matt Ryan, Kyler Murray, Ryan Tannehill, Joe Burrow are all Tier 2 quarterbacks. That's a big leap for Joe Burrow to be a Tier 2 quarterback, isn't it?
That is the one that jumped out to me, Hoodie, is we all know he was the number one overall pick, and with that comes a lot of expectations. But I don't think you saw enough from Joe Burrow to know definitively that he is, you know, in that Tier 2 level of all those other guys that you just listed off. Especially, now I'm a little closer to Cap's argument with Lamar Jackson. I still need to see it in the playoffs from Lamar, where he can lead his team a little bit deeper into the playoffs and not get shut down by another really good team. So for me, I do think Lamar is on the fringes of that. You know, he's like right at the ceiling of Tier 2, about to break through to Tier 1 if he can show in the playoffs that he can be a little more accurate downfield. But the problem is with what Hoodie just said. If Joe Burrow is a Tier 2 quarterback, then that's where I get a little little wishy-washy, because I just don't think I feel the same way about Joe Burrow right now that I do about Lamar Jackson.
So the 30 voters that put Josh Allen in the second tier are in agreement. They got to see him prove it with another strong season before they would anoint him into Tier 1, which means he's got to take them on a deep playoff run and avoid some of the critical mistakes, like the 18-yard sack that he took around in a wild card game. Lamar Jackson, here's what they wrote on Lamar Jackson. They believe, look, one guy said he's a defensive coach. I think he's a freaking elite quarterback. He's going to produce for you offensively, surrounded with better targets, bigger catch radiuses, and I think he can succeed. But there are some that said, to me, he's a guy you win with, and his legs are an X factor, but you do not win because of his arm. I do not think there are enough special passing traits to elevate him. All of the guys in Tier 2 other than him are better pure passers.
I think that he'll grow into that. I think we've seen that. I think he'll grow into that. I believe that he will be on the bottom of that Tier 1 at the end of this season. That's what I feel. And I know this is coming into this season because people still have a little bitter taste in their mouth based on how the Ravens played in the playoffs, right? Good regular season, but in the playoffs there's a question. So that's cool. Tier 3, Derek Carr. You're not the biggest Derek Carr guy.
He's okay. Yeah. I got to see more. That team hasn't had any success, so I've got to see more from him. So when you go to Tier 3 and you mentioned Derek Carr, he got 28 of his votes were Tier 3. He did get 22 Tier 2 votes. You put him on the right team with the right weapons and the right coaching, I do think he can move up into Tier 2.
I like this list, though, for Tier 3, Cap. So Derek Carr, Ben Roethlisberger is now a Tier 3 quarterback.
Correct.
Baker Mayfield, who you're not a big fan of, but Mayfield is 17 in Tier 3, along with Kirk Cousins, ooh-wee, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, Jimmy Garoppolo, Daniel Jones of the Giants, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and that ends Tier 3. Right, so Fitzpatrick's a Tier 3 quarterback?
Yeah, that surprised me. Now, again, the general feeling among the 50 voters is that the Washington football team will be better with Fitzpatrick, mm-hmm. while Miami will be worse without him.
Ooh.
Which is an interesting take, because they have Tua Tagovailoa. They took fifth overall.
So I didn't know the jury was out. The jury was in on Tua. Don't you? Just like any young quarterback, you give him a chance, don't you? I mean, it was interesting how Flores pulled him out of games, saying, you know what, you're the guy, but Fitzpatrick can finish this out because he's a veteran. You don't usually get that with young quarterbacks. They usually stay in there, but he was pulled like he was a reliever.
Yeah, multiple times.
Yeah.
Tier 4, number one Tier 4 is 24th overall, Sam Darnold, who's now in Carolina. Jameis Winston of the New Orleans Saints. Teddy Bridgewater, who's now in Denver. Cam Newton, New England. Mm-hmm. And then 28th.
There you go.
Andy Dalton, Chicago Bears.
What do they say?
So perhaps Justin Fields wins the starting job for Chicago heading into the season. In the meantime, the Bears have Dalton on a one-year deal for $10 million. He's the same as Bridgewater to me, a very similar guy. They got problems in Chicago because they're going to have to play that young quarterback early, if not right away, and it's all over with if that kid doesn't play well. Despite a rough 2020 season overall, he produced two of his 15 best career per-attempt games and victories over Cincinnati and Philadelphia, two teams that were in disarray at the time. An evaluator, though, did say Dalton has declined significantly and is near the end. I would not even say he's a legitimate starter at this point. I think he's really fallen off. His career says he was a number three, but his accuracy was bad last year. His arm was poor, and he's not very mobile. Justin Fields, not eligible for this list, by the way.
So there you go, Jeff. So there it is, and Andy Dalton at 28. And after that, Tua's 29, and 30 is Jalen Hurts, and then there's the rest. But there, you know, I love this list because I want to see how far the Bears have to climb. Andy Dalton at 28 coming into the season.
Yeah, that's a placeholder is what that is. Andy yeah. Dalton on this list. With that, I mean, I think they may have been even a little bit generous, to be honest with you, but that is clearly the placeholder ranking, you know, and the only reason you can't get, you know, because we haven't seen Justin Fields at the pro level, you know. But, like, yeah, this year, next year, this list will be even more interesting, and even though it's your favorite article of the year already, Hoodie,
yeah.
Next year, it will be even more interesting because as Bears fans, we will be able to look and see where Justin Fields falls, and I think it will have... It'll have a lot more meaning to us as Bears fans.
So there you go, Cap. That's where you are right now. Coming into the season, the Bears have a Tier 4 quarterback in Andy Dalton at 28. And all you want him to do is just maintain the offense.
Till we get our guy on the field.
That's exactly right.
All right. Could David Montgomery really get 20 carries per game? Matt Nagy answers next. Plus your reaction to the quarterback tier list. And time to give away...
Monday Night Raw tickets. Here we go. Monday Night Raw, be caller 20, regular line. There he is. Doo-doo-doo-doo. John Cena. 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776. A pair of tickets. Good luck to see Monday Night Raw in August at the Allstate Arena in Rosemont.
All right. Your calls and David Montgomery and Matt Nagy next. Doo-doo-doo-doo.
Where's my breakfast?
Cap and Jay Hood are in Vernon Hills at Buttermilk Cafe, just down the road from training camp. Pass the syrup on ESPN 1000.
Congratulations, Chris Kafitz of Streamwood. He won the tickets to Monday Night Raw.
Monday Night Raw.
There you go.
We'll give away another pair of tickets tomorrow at 9:13. It'll be our last pair of tickets. Even I'm not going. So at least you'll be able to go. Hope that you can win 9:13 tomorrow for Monday Night Raw tickets as they are at the Allstate Arena in Rosemont.
So David Montgomery is in phenomenal shape. And he's going into season three. And he said it's the best he's felt about the offense, his body, the offensive line. Everything that goes into how he does his job. So can you get David Montgomery 20 carries per game? And you and I have been consistent saying, show us.
Sure.
You're going to tell us you're going to do it? Show us. Matt Nagy was on with Shea and Jordan Cornette, and here is how he answered the question about getting his running back at least 20 carries a game.
Well, you know, again, for me, Jordan, I would say that we understand how important the run game is, and every team in the NFL would love to be able to run the ball at will whenever they want to, because it just opens up your play action passes. It protects the offensive linemen so they're not setting, you know, vertical sets on you know, 7 out of every 10 plays. And then also it gives your defense a little bit of a breather too, because you have some time of possession. The last couple years, there's been some games where we've had some good success in being able to run the ball, and you can see when you're able to do that, you're going to win some games. And there's been other times where it's just been more of a struggle. So that, you know, that number 20 has been brought up, and you're right. I mean, there's not many backs that get 20 carries. And usually when you are, it's in a lot of the fourth quarter and the 4 minute when you're getting those extra carries. But we're more concerned about the efficiency of the runs. And I think the other part of this too is just the amount of trust that I and we have as a coaching staff and our teammates in David Montgomery and these other and the offensive line and trying to build that strength with Juan Castillo as offensive line coach. So we understand the significance and the importance of it, and it's something that we want to definitely try to improve. And I think David is certainly up for the challenge.
Yep, I don't believe him. How about
I do.
That? Yep,
I do, because they have a better offensive line. Now, again, they got to stay healthy. And they have a different approach in the quarterback room. And at some point, it's going to be Justin Fields on the field. And then, as Tommy had him number one, and Sylvie was very adamant, he has to be at number one. If he doesn't play, we can look back with hindsight and go, I guess he wasn't the most important player for this season. He obviously is for the long-term prognosis of the franchise. But I do believe they're going to try and run the football more effectively. The offensive line people have said that they're going into this season and they're prepared to do that. Now, let's not forget last year. They lost James Daniels to a torn pectoral muscle.
I understand that.
Charles Leno was not a great left tackle. He's no longer here.
Yep.
And you were dealing with Foles and Trubisky. It's a different set of circumstances.
Has the offensive line been a problem the entire time Nagy's been here?
Yes.
The whole time?
Yes.
You know, there's always offensive line problems across the National Football League. It all depends on your depth chart on who can replace those that are injured or not available. My point is, though, is that even with issues of the offensive line, it doesn't mean that you just not run the football. And so when he talks about 20 carries, that seems like a lot for his offense, for a guy that likes the ball in the air a lot. Remember, he comes from Kansas City. Yeah, and I think he believes in trying to get the ball to tight ends and to wide receivers. Now, he also has to remember when he was with Kansas City, they also had a hell of a running game there, too. Now, I also want to point this out, too, Cap. The offensive line has been a problem since he's been here, and other teams have had to go through it as well. However, the running game doesn't have to be the running game between the tackles, the 3 yards and a cloud of dust. It could be just an out pattern where you're just throwing it out in the flat and then you have tremendous run after the catch. Hopefully that'll be there for the Bears, but my point is that we have not seen it, and so I'll believe it when I see it. The Bears running the football 20 times in this offense, if we're with a coach that likes the ball in the air, we'll see.
Well, if we go back to last season, and go back from October 18th on. They won that game at Carolina. David Montgomery had 19 carries. They lost to the Rams in a game they were playing from behind the whole time. He had just 14. Then he got 21 carries, 14, 11, and they get lost both games. One big to Green Bay, 41-25. But then 17, 11, 32, 23, 22. And then in the playoff game they played from behind, and he only got 12 carries again and did not average very much. I believe Matt is going into this season feeling, I'm better in the quarterback room. I'm going to get Justin on the field at some point, which is going to make running the football easier because he can make plays with his arm, his eyes, his legs, and we believe he's going to be a far superior player to anything we ran out there the last 3-4 years.
Okay. Well, I'll believe it when I see it. I mean, those numbers that you're giving me is that his arm was twisted to be able to actually run the football late in the season. That's actually in the middle to the end of the season. It started to pick up. As I told you, when I watched Montgomery run the football, he was holding on to it and running as hard as he could because I got to get these yards because I don't know when Matt's going to take it away from me. That's the way it was. That's how it appeared to me.
Well, don't forget, there's a big difference between last year's team and this year's team. I've chronicled to you the offensive line should be much, much better, A. B, last year, Tariq Cohen goes down with an ACL. You don't have a backup running back, and you're using Cordarrelle Patterson, who's not a running back. So it was not as easy to have a running back room like you do this year. You've got a draft pick in there. You've got David Montgomery in there. You've got the kid from Kansas City, Damian Williams, in there, and you get Cohen back. So there's a lot more options to run the football.
Okay, we'll see. I don't think that's how he operates. Now, if he does that, that's a whole different Nagy than I know. Now, there's more than one way to skin a cat, clearly. I mean, you can be able to do a lot of things offensively. There's some plays that he tried to run, and it had Kansas City plays without the Kansas City personnel. We saw this last few years with him. So All I know is that he likes to be able to get be vertical down the field, not side to side if he can help it. But him running the football, you know, sometimes I think that slows down his offense. That's what I believe. Because that's all the evidence I have. All I have is the games I've watched. Now, if he changes, that's a positive for the Bears.
But you've got to remember who was ducking under center. Much as I backed Mitch and hoped that he'd be a really good player, I was wrong. And he didn't turn out to be a good player.
Mitch don't stop you from running the football, though. That's actually,
yes, he does.
No, not, Mitch doesn't stop you from running the football. A bad offensive line does.
And Mitch does. 100%.
You couldn't hand the ball off and be able to get
yards
that way?
Dude, when you don't respect the passing game, you're going to stack the box and go, good luck. Make that guy beat me. What did Green Bay do in the start of the 19th season? They put eight guys up front and said, good luck. We're taking the running game away. Make 10 beat us, and he couldn't do it.
You do recall Trubisky having handcuffs on his wrists while he tried to quarterback the Bears. You do recall this, right? You do recall Mitch saying pretty much, I'd like to be able to roll around the pocket to be able to throw down the field, and I'm stuck in a box. Yeah, that was him saying that.
Yeah, because he was not accurate. He wasn't playing well. That's just a fact.
Cap, are you sure you want to jump off that Trubisky bandwagon? Because I don't know if you saw this. I saw this yesterday. Josh Reed, who covers the Buffalo Bills.
I saw it.
He sent out a video. I spent a lot of time watching new Bills QB Mitchell Trubisky today, and he looked sharp.
He's going to kill it with Buffalo. I know it's going to be like preseason and maybe fill in, but because the handcuffs will be off, he will be roaming around the field just like Josh Allen. Boom, down the field, touchdown. Boom, big time play. Watch Mitch. Watch him.
He's never going to play unless Josh Allen gets hurt.
He'll play. He'll play enough to kill us on the second preseason game. I can't wait to see Trubisky versus Fields. That's going to be great. Mitch is going to have the game of his life in that preseason game. You watch.
He'll certainly be motivated.
No question.
But that's also game two, which will be the dress rehearsal game where the starters will see the most time.
Let me explain to you. It's a dress rehearsal to you and me, but for Mitch, it's everything.
Right.
It's the whole world. Soldier Field, big spot.
Oh, no question.
Here we go.
And he's got the better team.
Yes.
So he's thinking, I got to go in there and ball out. But I'm just telling you, man, when you have a guy, and I was wrong, and I'll fall on my sword and admit it, I was wrong, 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 wrong. It didn't work out. He worked hard. He's a good dude. His teammates liked him. In the end, he couldn't make enough freaking plays. So guess what? I'm going to stack the box and go, make 10 beat me. Would they score Meller in that first game against Green Bay on Thursday Night Football in 19?
Was that 3 points?
10-3, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they got three freaking points.
Well, you know, they put him under glass in preseason because you couldn't put Tom Brady in harm's way in preseason. Tom Brady being Mitch Trubisky in this spot.
Correct. And now, finally, Matt's going to play those guys. So we'll see how it all shakes out this year. But I truly believe with the quarterback room being better, and if it doesn't work with Andy, we're going to get our guy Fields, so we'll have compelling content every single Sunday to watch.
Man, a room has never won a Super Bowl. I don't know why you keep referencing this room. The room doesn't win. The production on the field wins.
Oh, agreed. No doubt about it.
Yeah, and by the way, the quarterback room you're talking about is really Fields. That's really what you're talking about.
It is.
It's not even Dalton or Foles.
Because if Dalton keeps playing, it means we're winning.
Yeah.
Because if we're not winning, he's going to the kid, period, which will be a lot of fun to watch. Dan Weeder is at Hallis Hall. You can see him right from here. I see Dan. He's wearing a nice blue shirt today. Dan Weeder from Hallis Hall. Matt Nagy just spoke. You'll get all the Bears news next.
Hi, Dan.
Captain Jay Hooter and Vernon Hills as fans board the shuttles for training camp.
Watch on the ESPN 1000 Chicago channel on Twitch.
Uh-oh.
So the Bears are...
Don't give me the "so the Bears are." You're about to get in a fight with this old-timer here.
Yeah, he said, go Irish. I said, I root for anybody playing Notre Dame.
You know what? I think he could take it.
Wow.
I think he could take it. I'm just telling you.
That shuffle.
Of it.
Set it up. No shot.
I'm just telling you, Cap. I mean, he says go Irish, and you said no, that you're anti-Irish, and he was going to take it. Looks like he's seen some things, that old-timer. He's got a Beatles shirt on.
And an Army hat.
He's got an Army.
Oh,
here he comes. Cap, so, he's going to take you down.
No shot. Dan Wiederer is at Bears camp. Dan, nice shirt, buddy. We could see you just past the Home Goods store. So, I got to ask you.
I'm camped out at a hibachi grill there over there in Lincolnshire.
Yeah, Hoodie and I are right by the European Wax Center. So nice of Ryan Pace to put that in at Halas Hall. Get the players all waxed up, ready to go. So before we ask you about what Matt said this morning, you are also a member of the Glenview Little League. Danny has the league equivalent of Greg Maddux at 8 years of age. The kid pitched one inning, and the other coach said, if you put him in for his second inning, it's poor sportsmanship. I'm forfeiting, and we're leaving. Does that shock you in that league?
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. The kids are allowed to pitch two innings, and if you can pitch two innings, you're allowed to go out and dominate other kids for two innings if you're that good. It's ridiculous. I'm in the same league that Danny's in. Team Light Blue is on a four-game winning streak, as all your listeners are eager to learn. And there's a showdown between my team and Danny's team on August 7th, but I don't think I can be there because the Bears practice that same morning. But our guy will be throwing two innings against Danny's team for sure.
Yeah, we thought that was ridiculous as well, and we talked about it. I think the fans are on our side in that regard. And so as far as Bears camp is concerned, let's talk about the quarterbacks with Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton, everything that I've read from you, Dan, and other places, he feels like he is the QB1. He seems like he looks the part and playing the part so far.
Hoodie, first of all, I'm disappointed in your lack of enthusiasm for 6-, 7-, and 8-year-old baseball. I was expecting a little bit more verve out of you in that conversation. But if you want to talk Andy Dalton, I get paid to do that as well. And so, what I would say about Andy is there's just a noticeable comfort to where he's at right now. I mean, you guys know this could be a very potentially awkward situation, knowing that you're here on a very temporary basis, right? And that temporary could be 3 weeks as a starter. It could be 7 weeks as a starter. It could be 9 weeks as a starter. But Andy, as a veteran, a low-maintenance guy, understands the situation he's in. He knows that he's got an opportunity to start. And he's just using his veteran experience to help the offense through the early stages of the training camp. I think he expressed a great, I guess, relief and sort of enthusiasm for having had OTAs this spring to get his feet on the ground, to get acclimated with playbook, to understand his teammates better. And all that stuff helps you kind of hit the ground running when you get to camp, and so now it's his job to make it as hard on Justin Fields as possible to win that job.
So away from the quarterback for a second, but staying in that general vicinity, quarterback coach John DeFilippo is fully vaccinated, but he was not at practice yesterday and is in the COVID protocols. Can you explain exactly what's going on? Because I do believe the Bears are either there or close to being at the 85% threshold.
Well, and their coaching staff is at 100% fully vaccinated, and so it's one of these things. It's a breakthrough infection. He tested positive. The rules for testing positive are that you've got to go through the protocol, and in order as a fully vaccinated person to get back in action with your team, you have to have two negative tests separated by 24 hours. And so John DeFilippo will be sidelined until further notice, and obviously that's not a ideal thing, first of all, for the health of your quarterback's coach, but second of all, for bringing to the surface and understanding that this is going to happen. There are still going to be bumps in the road, that we are not fully through this pandemic, and given the volume of testing that they do and the procedures that are put in place, that this is still going to be something that is a speed bump for teams all along the way in 2021.
So we've read and heard the comments from Matt Nagy regarding running the football, and Cap and I were going back and forth regarding David Montgomery or the running game in general. 20 rushes or more from this offense. Do you believe that Montgomery was showcasing himself, Dan, toward the end of the season to give Nagy confidence that Montgomery could carry the mail?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that they are eager to try to play football with a lead, right, which didn't happen a ton in 2020. And so the hope is that if you're able to play from ahead and you've been able to further commit yourself to the running game, that all of a sudden Dave Montgomery's workload goes up. Again, if you look at David's final numbers from last year, once they got that offensive line solidified in the final 6 weeks of the season, his carry numbers were up, his yard numbers were up, he finished fifth in the league in rushing. I mean, there was a lot to be positive about the way David Montgomery finished the season. And now it's just a matter of if the Bears can know who they are offensively when the season starts and not wait until Thanksgiving to finally figure out, okay, we have to have a balanced offense and we have to put this guy to the test, because he's got a skill set here that can help you and can carry you on some weekends. And I think you guys saw against the Vikings in that game in Minneapolis last year where he got the ball a bunch and he helped seal a win where the offense was at its best last year. And so the Bears better take note of that and continue to use him properly.
So Khalil Mack, who I love that he's a Bear and he's played through nagging injuries, he said somebody asked him yesterday about the injuries and he said, "I was on the field. No excuses. That's it. You're not going to hear about any injuries. If I was on the field, I've got to be better." And then he said, "What do we need to do, me and Robert Quinn? Get to the damn quarterback." And I'm reading your tweet. That's what we got paid to do. Affect the game by getting to the quarterback and creating turnovers at short fields for the offense. Do you look at this defense and believe, like, I can't believe there are people out there last year that were predicting record numbers of sacks. I'm kidding, of course. But I do think this is a team that should have more success with Eddie Goldman back at pressuring the pocket.
No question. It relies on, you know, Akeem Hicks being at full strength. It relies on Eddie Goldman being the player that we know Eddie Goldman can be. It relies on Khalil Mack being healthier in 2021 than he was last year and not being on the injury report 10 times, right? Like, let's try to get that down to 4, right? And see if you can be in a better physical state to impact the game. And then there's a lot, Cap, that comes down to what Sean Desai is going to try to do as a coordinator. And there is universal excitement within the coaching staff, universal excitement within the players on defense about Sean sort of bringing back some of the creativity that Vic Fangio showed in 2018, bringing back the understanding of how to use his best playmakers situationally that allows them to be at their best when plays need to be made. Guys really believe in Sean Desai starting out. We don't know anything about Sean as a coordinator. We know he's a hard worker. He's climbed his way up the ladder, and now he's got to back up the praise that he's got from inside this building with production on game days, and there's excitement that can do that, that you're going to see the sack totals go up. You're going to see the takeaway totals go up. The Bears defense needs to do that. Otherwise, you're just a middle-of-the-road team with a work-in-progress offense and an above-average defense that isn't winning you enough games.
Over 30 minutes of the press conference for Aaron Rodgers yesterday.
Yeah.
And I just want to get your reaction to what Aaron had to say, including really dissing Green Bay. I mean, yeah, I understand it's not a vacation spot, but is that the worst place in the NFL to go? Out of all the NFL cities, is that the worst place you want a vacation?
I got to tell you, I listened to the entirety of that this morning. I heard chunks of it yesterday and then listened to the entirety of it this morning on my drive up here. And I found it incredibly refreshing that Aaron didn't speak in cliches, and he didn't duck and dodge around direct questions, that he had feelings and sentiments that he felt comfortable enough expressing and sharing. I thought it was super refreshing to hear his outlook. You can agree with him, you can disagree with him, but I think that his point on the whole was, look, I have been in Green Bay for a really long time. I have won a lot of football games and put this team in position to win a lot of championships, division, conference, and otherwise. And because of that status, I believe that I should have more of a voice and should be consulted on bigger picture items and really just be a guy that can offer feedback and input and consultation that can help a franchise pursue the ultimate goal, which is winning a Super Bowl. I loved everything that Aaron said yesterday. I have very little to nitpick about it. I know that I've been to Green Bay in my time covering the league a dozen times, and I've never seen a Brian Gutekunst jersey in the stands at Lambeau Field. I've seen a lot of number 12s, and whether you agree or disagree, I'm of the belief that if you've got a guy who's been your meal ticket for as long as Aaron's been your meal ticket, you owe him respect, and you owe it to him to try to keep him as happy as possible. Otherwise, you can punt him out the door and become the Bears, searching for a new quarterback every year for 30 years.
So we got you down for Buffalo as the worst NFL city. Go ahead.
Hey, Mitch was lighting it up yesterday, according to one of the writers.
Okay, cool. Awesome.
Enjoy that.
Toot-toot, Hong Kong on the bandwagon. Yeah. Can't wait to see him. I mean, Mitch is an awesome dude. Can't wait to see him in a few weeks here in Chicago.
Before we let you go, let's get the injury updates. We've got Tevin Jenkins missed his second straight practice. Jermaine Effetti after the conditioning test had an issue. And then Eddie Jackson on the non-football injury list. Also Robert Quinn dealing with the same back issue. So can you just update everything?
Yeah, I'm less worried about Afedi and Jackson. I think those guys will mix back into practice in the next week or so, and it'll be in the rearview mirror pretty quickly. More worrisome is that Robert Quinn is still dealing with his back issue that kept him out of minicamp. Obviously, we know that he was not productive at all in 2020, and so the last thing you want is a guy like that reporting to camp with a problem to deal with. And then the Tevin Jenkins setback is significant to this team, right? You're talking about a guy that they hope can become your long-term answer at left tackle. If you're going to say that you're going to bring Justin Fields along at a rate that allows him to become your starter when he's ready, you have to say the same thing about Tevin Jenkins, and every practice he misses is a setback to him getting comfortable and confident on the left side of your offensive line. And so for now, circle the name Elijah Wilkinson on your roster, because that could be a guy that makes a surprise week one start, because Jenkins hasn't either gotten healthy enough or hasn't gotten up to speed with what they need to see out of him at this level. And so that one's notable to me until he's on the field and practicing at full strength.
Dan, have a wonderful rest of your day. The shirt looks good from this view right here. So enjoy the rest of practice and the rest of camp. We'll talk to you soon.
I can't wait for more 8-year-old baseball talk. Me and Danny can recap the August 7th showdown on August 9th.
By the way, Danny, his team against yours is minus 187 with that kid he's got pitching. So you're a decided underdog.
I take Team Light Blue all day with those odds. All day.
Have a great day, man.
See you, boys.
There he is. That's the great Dan Wiederer. He is one of our great Bears insiders. Lollapalooza starts today. It's a Chicago celebration. My wife is going to be there. She's working all weekend. That's next.
Here's David Kaplan.
Hold on. This hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Chicago's Big Ten team. College football returns to Wrigley Field this fall for the first time since 2010. Join Northwestern Football as they take on Purdue in the Wildcat Classic on November 20th. Tickets on sale now at nusports.com.
The training camp shuttles are loading in Vernon Hills. Cap and Jay Hood are there on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app.
Clothes, what is up?
So Lollapalooza is back after a one-year COVID-induced hiatus. Are you a Lollapalooza guy? I've never been. My kids like to go. My wife will be working there in the Malnati's booth all weekend. I don't know if Danny, Jeff, JR, if they're Lollapalooza people. I just have never gone. I've always been locked in with baseball or whatever's going on with work, family. What do you think?
I have been to Lollapalooza. I have not been in a few years. And the reason why I like to do it is because, you know, sometimes it's not even about an act that I like. When I look at that card, many times it's acts I never heard of, or it might be one particular act I'll see. I probably lean a little bit more towards Summerfest in that regard in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. But for Lala, it's just like walking from stage to stage saying, you know what, I like that. I like that band. I may not be a fan of that particular music, but I like what they're doing. And so, you know, for me, it's just about bass. Anything that's got strong bass. And also, I'm a sucker for a guitar, as Danny will tell you. Anything with a great guitar riff, I'm just going to stand there and just rock out.
Danny, Foo Fighters are the headliner on Sunday. You're going, right?
I'm going to see them tomorrow in Milwaukee at Summerfest.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait. I guarantee they're going to cover a ZZ Top song because, as we talked about, ZZ Top's bassist passed away. I think it'll be really cool. It'll be their warm-up because the Foo Fighters are the headliners of Lollapalooza for Sunday night.
Yep.
Tonight, if you were going to Lollapalooza, the headliner is Miley Cyrus, so you can see a whole lot of covers. It's kind of like Miley Cyrus does live karaoke.
See, and I know that you were not big on the card when it was unveiled because you're saying, oh, there's Miley. Like, you don't mind Miley, but you're not going out of your way to see her.
I think the problem is, and I don't want to age myself and make myself sound old, but the problem is a lot of the bands in Lollapalooza are not aimed at my age group, right?
Yeah.
Like, I like some of the older bands, the bands that used to play Lolla until, you know, the last 7 or so years ago. This is more for the younger generation, and that's cool, but that's why I've kind of moved out from Lolla. There was a point in time where my wife and I never missed Lollapalooza. Palooza. I mean, we went to, I don't know how many straight years, and we'd go to every single day. It was like the highlight of the summer. Summer came, top priority of the summer was getting tickets to Lollapalooza, and then we didn't miss a day unless we had to work that Friday.
Yeah, so Cap, tell us about those days of going to Chicago Fest to see B.B. King. Go ahead, give me a few minutes on that.
I used to see the Blues Brothers at Chicago Fest.
Go ahead, give me a little.
I'm actually excited, Danny, to go see Marshmallow. So,
what's your favorite Marshmallow tune?
Wolves, Friends, Happier, Alone, Silence. Those are all really hot songs. Christopher Comstock is his name, and I think his costume's cool. I think his act is cool.
You know, the great thing about that, Danny, Wikipedia agrees with Cap in that regard.
Nobody reads Wikipedia faster and pawns it off as his own stuff than Cap.
It's unbelievable, this guy. I'm not a Marshmallow guy. Not really. Take that. I mean, come on now.
Post Malone headlines on Saturday. Now, Post Malone's good. I like Post Malone. And Megan, I bet you he's going to put on a great show.
Megan Thee Stallion will be there.
I always felt like the Saturday headliner was the best headliner because usually they want to close out the fest with the biggest headliner, and that's why Foo Fighters are Sunday. But most people have to go to work Monday morning, right? Like, if you're going to the fest Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you're going to be hungover Monday. So I always thought the best time to go was Saturday night because you can just let it all hang out.
Do people go every day?
Well, yeah, you can buy four packs. You get a wristband, and it gives you entrance for all 4 days.
Danny, that's a great thought by you in 2019. Nobody goes to work on Monday anymore except us.
Good point. Well taken.
They might be working, but working from home or sitting on the porch with a 40, collecting the unemployment.
Have you gone? Well, you said you've gone. Have you gone multiple days in a row?
No, it's just one. I can't do multiple because it's an all-day thing or afternoon to evening thing for me, and then that's enough.
Yeah, what time does it, like, when you have a ticket, a pass, my kids have gotten those wristbands,
yeah,
and you're going to go Thursday, Friday. Like, we've been sitting in there, you and I have it because there was no, the show started last year, and there was no Lala last year. Yeah. But Danny, Chris Black, and I would see these streams of people walking by in various stages of undress at like 10 in the morning, 9 in the morning. We'd be like, there they go.
You know they're not from here when you see them, right? I mean,
they're from Buffalo Grove.
Right. LaGrange, Buffalo Grove, Lake Forest.
All the suburban kids come down. I mean, the first band today plays at noon. So, like, while Carmen and Yurko are on the air from the beautiful State Street studio, they will be able to see young people headed over to Lollapalooza.
Yeah, Jimmy Eat World. Yeah.
With their one-hit wonder, yeah. I can't wait to see them. Here's what I understand. I saw this coming home yesterday, Cap. Those big cages, man. On Lakeshore Drive, where it says, if you climb the cage, you will be prosecuted. Like, those big, long fences. Mm-hmm. Like, you know it's going to get rowdy. Someone's going to try that fence. It's like 20 feet high in the air, these fences, to separate people from going from across the street to the other, climbing up the fence to get over into a session. There's some big fences up there. I've seen that the last couple of years. Like, wow, that's amazing. In my younger years, I might have tried that, but not now. I might hurt myself.
Well,
severely.
Lollapalooza kicks off today.
Awesome.
Miley Cyrus and Tyler, the Creator, tomorrow. Marshmallow, Post Malone and Journey, Megan Thee Stallion, Limp Bizkit, and then Sunday's the Foo Fighters, DaBaby, Brockhampton, Modest Mouse, and Young Thug.
Now, one day, Danny, we're going to have to do a contest with Cap. Is it Baby or DaBaby? Just play different music and see if he knows the difference between the two.
That would be great. Or we could play A Baby Crying or the music.
Or DaBaby. Who's going to be there on Sunday?
I'll fail miserably. We'll crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko in 2 minutes.
Take that.